Welcome to Passion and Purpose, a podcast with Jimmy Seibert and the Antioch Movement. Whether this is your first time with us or you've been with us for a while now, our desire is that by the end of our time together, you can say that you've fallen more in love with Jesus and have a greater passion for Him and His purposes in the earth. Thanks so much for joining us. We hope that you enjoy today's episode.
All right. Well, hey, everybody. Here with Hi, y'all. Jimmy again. We're excited to be here today. And Jimmy, last fall, we spent an extended season of time as the Antioch Movement seeking God for what do you have for us for the next year? And I remember the different meetings with the U.S. pastors and the overseas team leaders, the prophetic community, and even gathering in Rome with the Antioch oversight team, team leaders, really seeking God. And I think the Holy Spirit highlighted to us that we were to lean into, that He was leading us into this next year, was really investing in unity of the Spirit, of cultivating that. Such an important biblical topic. And there's so many different versions of unity in the world around us. I think it can be hard to know, like, what is Christian unity? What is that unity of the Spirit? And how does that contrast or compare with worldly visions of unity? So we're going to take some time today and over the next couple episodes to really lean in. You've helped us say, you know, we could spend a lifetime talking about unity of the Spirit, but there are three dimensions that we've been leaning into as a community: union with God, communion with the saints, and partnership in His mission. So today we're going to do a deep dive on union with God. Mm-hmm. Next week, communion with the saints. The following week, partnership in His mission. I'm excited to jump into this with you today. Any opening thoughts?
I think the reason this is so important is for the storm that's all around us and about to just increase.
Yeah.
That the intensity of the world and the culture to bring conformity to the world is at an all-time high in my lifetime. Mm-hmm. Therefore, our rooting and grounding in what the Bible says about unity and who we unify around and what we unify around is paramount for us to be anchored in the storm, for the sake of our family, our friends, the people of God, the mission of God. So this is a huge deal. This is not just kind of like a cool theological discussion on unity. This is a paramount anchor that we got to have to make it through the storm.
So good. So when we started talking about unity, you know, I know it's an important Christian topic, but I was struck by how actually central unity of the Spirit is. So when we go through the scripture, it's actually one of the central teachings of the Christian life.
Amazing.
It's the New Testament's most frequent way to refer to what does it mean to be a believer. I think I got on my study notes here, 164 times in the letters of Paul alone does he say things like we are in Christ or in the Lord or in Him. 164 times.
Wow.
And the devil, the word for the devil, is actually translated from a word to divide. And so God wants to bring us together in Him. The devil, our enemy, wants to divide us from the Lord, from one another, from our purpose. So this is so important. So if you care about Jesus, want to follow Him, want to follow what the Spirit is doing, and love the Bible, man, today is for you because we're jumping into Scripture. So let's start with union with God.
Right, got it.
Help me to understand what do we mean when we say union with God?
So let me set up this framework, because I think we're going to do like three podcasts on this. And the framework is what will be, we will be in union with God forever and ever. What is
That's an awesome thought.
We're going to go ahead. So we're going to talk about what will be, what is our present reality in Christ. What are we becoming? Even though we have a present reality, we also have a fallen nature that's being conformed to the image of Christ. What are ways that we cultivate our union with God? What are our hindrances? And what's the spiritual warfare around it? So you may have missed that, so we're going to unpack it. All right, so here we go.
Let's do it.
Union with God, what's going to be? I love this. Revelation 21, verse 3. And I heard a loud voice. Everybody say loud voice.
Loud voice.
From the throne saying, first of all, why does there need to be a loud voice? If you're in the throne, wow. So it's a big deal, right? Yeah. In my house, when I raised my voice, it was a big deal. All right? So the loud voice of heaven says, look, God's dwelling place is now among the people, and He will dwell with them. They will be His people, And God himself will be with them and be their God. He will wipe away every tear from their eyes. There'll be no more death or mourning or crying or pain, for the old order of things has passed away.
Mm-hmm.
Wow. Okay.
Yeah.
So, Zach, here's the deal. You are going to be with him forever and ever, and he is going to not only be your God, but you are going to be so with him that you, he literally says that we will partner with him to develop the new heavens and the new earth.
Yeah.
That we're not only saved and we made it into heaven, but it says that the glory of God will literally be the sunlight. You won't even need the sun because the glory of God will fill you up. Everything that you were intended to be apart from sin will be electrified because you'll be in a glorified body.
Mm-hmm.
But the most beautiful thing is you'll have unhindered fellowship and communion with God.
Yeah.
I love what some people talk about when, you know, we often say, when I get to heaven, I'm going to ask God that question. Some people that have had visitations of heaven in this life said you don't even, you have a question, you know the answer because you're not filtered by sin.
Mm-hmm.
You don't even have a question because mm-hmm. the knowledge of God is in the presence of
mm-hmm.
God. I mean, we could go on and on and on and on. But for the believer, if you're listening to this and you're not saved, get saved now!
Yeah.
Because your eternal union with God has already been prepared for you.
Yeah.
And it is everything you've ever longed for and beyond what you've longed for.
Yeah.
I love like when John's trying to describe in Revelation, he's trying to describe it's like jasper
mm-hmm.
or it's like crystal or it's like different rubies. He's trying to describe colors that are beyond the most beautiful thing on earth.
Right.
Or he's trying to describe what it means to be in union with God forever right. and eternity, but he can't really use the words limit
yeah.
the affection.
Yeah.
It's kind of like when you love someone or if you love your spouse and when you're really clicking, words are not enough to describe the beauty of the union that you have. It's called a glimpse of glory.
Mm-hmm.
But this eternal dwelling is secure.
Yeah.
So I will forever be with God in a perfect state, in a glorified body, and perfect partnership forever because I've trusted in Christ in this life. Wow. There you go. So you will be with him. I am presently in union with God. Here it says in Hebrews 8, verse 16, this is the covenant that I will make with them. After those days, says the Lord, I'll put my laws upon their heart and on their mind I will write them. He then says, in their sins and their lawless deeds I will remember no more. For where there is forgiveness of all things, there is no longer any offering for sin. Therefore, since we have confidence to enter the holy place by the blood of Jesus, by a new living way which he inaugurated for us through the veil, that is his flesh, and since we have a great high priest over the house of God, let us draw near with a sincere heart in full assurance of faith, having our hearts sprinkled clean from an evil conscience and our bodies washed with pure water. Now, I've said a lot there, and that is the simple gospel to say this. The blood of Jesus has now made a way for me to be a son of the living God now.
Yeah.
If any man is in Christ, he is a new creation. The old things have passed away. Behold, all things are made new. I am not longing to be a son of God. I am a son of God
mm-hmm.
by his choosing, by his doing, and by his sacrifice. Mm-hmm. Therefore, the scripture says in Romans 8, I'm not living in slavery and fear again, but I have the spirit of adoption by which I cry out, Abba, Father. The Spirit himself bears witness with our spirit that we are children of God.
Mm-hmm.
So, Zach, you can't be any more a son or daughter of God than you are today,
mm-hmm.
right? If you're listening to this and you've trusted in Jesus, you've been brought into covenant relationship now.
Mm-hmm.
And so I am fully his. And therefore, everything in my nature has been changed by the Spirit of God that lives within me, and I have everything I need. So when I wake up in the morning and I review the names of God, what I often do is, you are Jehovah Jireh, you're my provider. So provision is already made. Thank you, Lord. You are my healer. Healing's already been made. You are the God who is present. You're already here. You are my shepherd. You're already shepherding me. You are my banner of love. You, everything that I need, you have already provided for. Now, that is a truth, and we often call that identity. I need to know my identity. I need to know who I'm in Christ. So what's the problem then? Why do I struggle? Why do I not live out of my identity? Why do I not live in union with God? Well, it's called the flesh and the devil. John says it this way, the lust of the eyes, the lust of the flesh, and the boastful pride of life. Jesus said in the parable of the seed and the sower, the deceitfulness of riches, desire for other things, and cares of the world. We have this flesh world that we live in, and rather than allow our identity and our union with Christ to rule our lives, we allow our affections and desires and the world to rule our lives. Mm-hmm. So are you tracking with me so far?
I'm tracking with you.
All right. Any questions so far?
Yeah. So let me summarize what I hear you saying is when we're talking about union with God, you're talking about and you're encouraging us that the Bible would encourage us to think about our future reality, that eternity for us is going to be with the Lord. And that's one dimension. We say union with God. So no matter what's happening to me today, what I hear you say is, hey, I have an eternity that is going to be with the Lord.
Yeah.
That's also a present reality that I am a child of God now. Or as Jesus said, he's the vine and I'm a branch. Like I am connected to him. And alongside that, that is an ongoing process of learning to draw from that unity or live from that identity. Am I hearing you correctly? Am I understanding what
So the simple thing that I want everybody to get, if I was to summarize this podcast, is you have the already and the not yet. Mm-hmm. You are a child of God, and you're being conformed into his image. So true union with God is the journey of transformation and the process of coming into agreement of that which has already been done. Mm-hmm. So I'm not begging to be a child of God. I am a child of God. And therefore, I am then allowing God to work his grace in me in a way that I come in full union with who I've already been created to be. Let me just throw out a couple of scriptures maybe to make this make sense. Philippians 2:12. Therefore, my dear friends, since you have always obeyed, not only in my presence, but now much more in my absence, continue to work out your salvation with fear and trembling, for it is God who is at work in you, both to will and to work for his good pleasure. 1 Thessalonians, I used to have a problem with S's. They sent me to speech therapy in fifth grade. So here we go. Getting better. 1 Thessalonians 5. I got Timothy instead of Thessalonians. 1 Thessalonians 5. I should be able to quote it, but here we go. Now may the God of peace himself sanctify you entirely. May your spirit and soul and body be preserved complete without blame at the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ. Faithful is he who called you, and he'll bring it to pass. All right. So everybody keep hanging with us, you guys. It's about to get really good. All right. So it says spirit, soul, and body be made complete to prepare ourselves for the coming of the Lord Jesus Christ. Faithful is he who calls you, and he will bring it to pass. So my eternal home set, I am a child of God. Mm-hmm. Now I am coming into conformity with God. I'm working through my flesh and my brokenness and my neediness to make my life wrapped in the fullness of what I'm created to be. Yeah. All right, so how does that break down? I love how different writers have looked at the New Testament and said, the soul is, in a summation, the mind, the will, and the emotions. Mm-hmm. So I've got to renew my mind. Mm-hmm. Romans 12:1-2. Yeah. Present your body a living holy sacrifice. Do not be conformed to this world, the thoughts of this world, but be transformed through the renewing of your
mind.
There it is. Renewing of your mind. That you may know the good, acceptable, and perfect will of God. So what's the greatest question everybody asks people? What's the will of God? Well, if you conform to the thoughts of God, you will know the will of God. Yeah. But we want the will of God without conforming to God. Mm-hmm. So when I let the Word of God determine how I see life, how I live life, and how I evaluate life, then I come into union with God and I'm able then to interpret and apply life.
Yeah.
So I don't live with question marks about what God's will is for my life.
Right.
At the very least, I may not know what city I'm supposed to live in right now or what job I'm supposed to have right now, but I do know the will of God is to be thankful.
Yeah.
I know the will of God is to love my neighbor. I know the will of God is to obey his word. I know the will of God is for me to deny my flesh and take and clothe myself with Jesus. It's to listen for his voice. It's to help other people. Man, I got so much of the will of God to do today. I really don't have to angst out about what city and what job I have because he's already told me what his will is. And when I do those things of gratitude, faithfulness, love, and honor, it's so easy for him to speak to me. It's just like, whew, breathe and go this way, go that way.
Mm-hmm.
It's so easy when there's union with God.
Mm-hmm.
So we renew our mind. And again, all these are three-hour sermons, but just that whole idea, body, soul, and spirit. So my soul is conforming through my mind and my will.
Yeah.
Jesus said, I've come to do thy will, O God.
Yeah.
Paul said this in Ephesians 3. He said, may you be strengthened in the inner man. When I was in college, before when computers were just kind of getting going, and the way they would do coding is they would put it on what's called a floppy disk.
Mm-hmm.
And it was this big disk. I don't know if you're old enough to remember
that. I remember the
that.
Floppy disk.
Floppy disk. And you would code, and it would kind of, like it was like a CD burn, yeah. And then you would put it in there, and then that would do your computer programming.
Uh-huh.
Okay, bit technical, but it's called a floppy disk. And what would happen invariably, I would put it in one of my books and I'd bend the floppy disk and then it didn't work because it was bent.
Yeah.
And we'd have to then put about 10 books on it to get it to straighten up so then I could get the floppy disk to work. That's our will.
Mm.
Every time we do our will instead of God's will, we bend our will in the wrong way. And it takes a lot of conscious decision making to strengthen our will.
Yeah.
We got to keep making the right decisions, keep choosing the spirit instead of the flesh, keep choosing God instead of self, keep choosing God's word. So Jesus was unique in that he did it right every time.
Mm-hmm.
Some people listening still trust yourself.
Mm-hmm.
I trust Jesus. I am confident in the grace of God. I'm confident in his leadership in my life. So this isn't insecurity,
right?
But I don't trust me.
Uh-huh.
So somebody said, well, after 40 years of walking with God, how have you stayed, you know, at least out of the zone of destroying your life, you know, or disqualifying yourself from the ministry, whatever? I said the only way I've stayed out of that realm is because I don't trust myself,
mm-hmm.
not because I'm holier than somebody else or because I'm stronger than somebody else, because I consider myself weak.
Yeah.
But it's the awareness of my need for God and not trusting in myself that actually strengthens my will.
Mm-hmm. It's powerful to think about.
Yeah.
Powerful to think about.
I'll do one more and then I'll let you ask some questions.
One more, yeah.
So you got your mind, you got your will, and then emotions.
Mm-hmm.
Wow, there's this old Bee Gees song. It's just emotions taking me over. Yeah, that's the story of our lives.
Yes.
And one writer, this is a stunning statement. I read this book on marriage, and this guy was talking about recovering from adultery.
Mm-hmm.
And he had his doctorate in theology, he had a doctorate in marriage and family. And he left his wife with his kids kind of like 11, 9, and 7.
Mm-hmm.
He quote unquote fell in love with another woman.
Mm-hmm.
And he said, I knew it was wrong, but I wanted it and I went for it. And of course it into another divorce, and he miraculously had gotten back with his original wife after destroying their lives. It's a miracle story.
Okay.
But here was his evaluation as a double doctorate.
Right. So he knew all the information.
To say the least. Yeah. He said, how could a guy with two doctorates and one of them marriage and family make that stupid of a decision?
Mm-hmm.
And he said, I want to make a bold statement that emotions are stronger than truth.
Mm-hmm.
Now, we believe the truth sets us free.
Mm-hmm.
They're not ultimately, if you choose to meditate on the truth. But our emotions, at the very least, cloud the truth and feel stronger than truth and cause us to make stupid decisions.
Yeah.
So some of that comes from triggering of our past, family of origin. There's so many kind of psychological reasons why our emotions lead our lives. That's what's so important, to allow the Holy Spirit to reveal places of need, places of restoration. And that's why we so believe in the healing of the heart mm-hmm. through listening to God, listening prayer, different tools that people use. Because if my emotions do not find their home in God, they will find their home in the enemy's camp. Mm-hmm. They'll find their home in the wrong place at the wrong time. And it won't just be like, I had a bad day. It'll destroy somebody's life. Mm-hmm. Our emotions are powerful. Mm-hmm. That's why worship is so central to us. That's why confession is so. That's why meaningful relationships that are healthy, not based on codependence and awkwardness. That's why covenant of marriage is so important, because we're recovering from our emotional garbage. I used to draw this illustration of a heart with little strings going in every way. And as a kid, your heart goes towards your parents, and then they fail you, you know. And so you cut it off in your parent, and then it goes to your friends. And then maybe you got in a sexual relationship, or maybe you got, you know, perks from your academic world, or maybe you got bullied and cast aside, and some friends on drugs were acceptable to you. In the end, you have heart strings that are going somewhere. That's why the Bible says, watch over your heart with all diligence, for from it flow the very springs of life. Yeah. You got to take all the emotions and get them into the heart of God. Let him heal them, and then reorient yourself into union with God's emotions instead of man's emotions. Mm-hmm. So we just barely are scratching the surface today, but Give me some questions and wrapping thoughts here.
Yeah, well, I think this is so helpful. So when we're talking about union with God, you're talking about our future state, glorification. This is our destiny.
I will be one with him forever. Woo! Okay, yeah, that's good.
There we go. And you're talking about our present reality.
Yes.
I am united with Christ.
Yes.
And you're the justification. And you're talking about our sanctification, this process of me learning to live from that justification. And then on that one, really stuck out to me of you saying we need to let that sanctification process transform the way we think, transform the will, what we long for, decision making, but also transform our emotions, and so that we are attached to the Lord, mind, will, and emotions. And as we do that, we will draw more from the joy of being united with him, from the life that's in him. Am I hearing
I want to say something really powerful that actually I got from my friend Michael Sullivan.
I love Michael. Michael, shout out to you if you are listening today.
If you haven't listened to the whole podcast, you don't want to turn it off right now, because this is going to be your money ball right here. Okay. This is what you need. So, and I'm going to botch it, Michael, so sorry, but he said social media and media in general is in competition with your affections for God, and it's a race to the attachment center of your brain. Okay. So there's a race going on every day. Who's going to capture the affections and the attachment of the emotions of your soul today?
Yeah.
And it's a race. So that's why social media just, it is stimulating you, adrenaline, cortisol, everything's firing. It's drawing on everything in you to get you addicted to it.
Yeah.
And God, through the Holy Spirit, through his word, is offering a different way.
Yeah.
And again, that doesn't mean that God doesn't redeem social media. That doesn't mean there aren't beautiful things that stimulate my worship of God. And so if you're doing social media, make sure you attach yourself to emotions that are servicing your worship, honor, and truth and love for God. At the same time, remember, it's a race every day for literally in our human bodies, there's a center that is stirred through adrenaline and emotion that attaches to things. And so I would just admonish everyone is that you're going to attach to something emotionally. If it's not God, it'll be something wrong. Mm-hmm. It'll eventually lead you to a place you don't want to be.
Okay.
So the race is on.
Yeah.
May the worship of God and the centrality of Jesus bring union with God. And lastly, the reason this union with God is so important to our message on unity is that when I'm in union with God, I have right perspective to be in union with you.
Yeah.
It is impossible to be in right unity with brothers and sisters without a right attachment to God.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. I'm sure we're going to hit on that more in communion. But let me ask you just one final question. Okay. If I'm listening to this and I'm like, okay, I got it, but this seems like a lot. Like, do I really need to focus my whole mind, will, emotions on being united with the Lord? What, from 40 years of walking with the Lord and leading people in their relationship with Jesus, what are some of the fruits that come from, if this year, if I give myself to growing in this union with God, what are some of the fruits that you've seen in your life or people's lives that would be motivating to, this is the why I want to run after this? What would you say?
Yeah, the biggest, there's multiple ones, but security. Mm. I'm secure. I'm loved today by God, no matter what happens. I have a refuge in God, no matter what I do or don't do. I have a place of forgiveness, a place of grace, a place of hope, a place of help, a place of strength, a place of perspective. If I'm alone, I'm never alone because I'm with God. If I'm with a bunch of friends, I'm not insecure because I'm just a part of his body, but I'm secure in my part of the body. Mm. The security that you find in the arms of God, in the revelation of God, it is scary to the world. Mm. People don't know what to do with a secure person. Mm-hmm. And that allows us then to be a prophetic people because the world desperately is looking for a place to rest.
Yeah. Well, thank you, Lord, that those are the things that you want to work in us as we respond on this unity. Well, any closing thoughts before we sign off for today?
Oh, I got so many thoughts. It's amazing. But the great thing is this is a comma conversation. Mm-hmm. We'll pick it up next week as we talk about union, communion, and partnership because we need to get it. The world's shaken, but God is so secure, and he's calling us to himself.
Amen. We'll see everybody next week.
Thanks so much for tuning into this episode of Passion and Purpose, a podcast with Jimmy Seibert and the Antioch Movement. For more information, please visit jimmyseibert.com and antioch.org. We'll see you next time.